Welcome to the Not Sorry Art Podcast. I'm Sari Shrike, the artist and creator behind Not Sorry Art. I'm so excited to talk art and creativity with you, so grab a drink, grab a snack, and let's dive in. Are you looking to gain confidence in your painting practice and improve your sense of color, composition, drawing? At Not Sorry Art School, I teach representational painting techniques that'll help you feel more in control of your art and elevate your abilities. With 16 courses from color theories to master studies, painting water, portrait painting, and our latest edition, painting fabric, you'll have everything you need to master representational painting. With access to current and future courses, a supportive community, and personalized feedback, you'll be well on your way to achieving your artistic goals. Lifetime students get full access to all of this, but if you're not ready to commit yet, try our free 7-day boot camp. This is a great way to experience a bite-sized version of what our full course has to offer. To become a lifetime student or check out the 7-day boot camp, make sure to click the link in the show notes. I also wanted to say that today's episode is sponsored by my book. I have a book coming out. I'm so proud of this, guys. The links are already up. I'll have them in the show notes. But the book is called Modern Still Life, From Fruit Bowls to Disco Balls. It is my take on a step-by-step painting book. I am really excited about it. Not only does it have like motivational tips and tricks to keep you going in your practice, but it also has clear and beautiful and full color breakdowns of the step-by-step process in my paintings. So I could not be more excited about it. If you wanted to check it out, order it. It would help me more than you even know. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Not Sorry Art Podcast. I'm Sari. Thanks for being here. I'm really excited for today's episode as I chat with one of my all-time favorite TikTok follows, Danielle Bayard Jackson, a female friendship coach, podcast host, and author of the new book, Fighting for Our Friendships, The Science and Art of Conflicts and Connection in Women's Relationships. I've read the book and I can't recommend it enough as a well-researched look into why female friendships thrive and why some fall out, and how to understand the complicated nature of maintaining relationships in adulthood. I wanted to have Danielle on to discuss her book and to ask her about how creatives in particular can approach friendships that often blend personal and professional motives. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Danielle, and if you'd like to hear more from her, you can find her on TikTok at The Friendship Expert, listen to her podcast, Friend Forward, and of course, something I definitely recommend, check out her book. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hi, welcome. I'm so excited for you to be here today. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Of course, of course. And I guess I want to start by asking you a little bit about how you got into this. I know with your book, you have a wonderful introduction. Your book is Fighting for Our Friendships, by the way. I just finished it and I am like recommending it to everyone. So I have to start the podcast off with that. But I'm curious if you could tell my viewers, like, how did you get to where you're writing a book? But more importantly, how did you get into being a friendship coach? Because I feel like I haven't heard, like, that feels like an industry I've never heard anyone work in before.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for taking the time to read the book. Like, I don't take that for granted. People are spending hours of their week reading. So I really appreciate you for that. Yeah. Being a friendship coach, you know, is not something I ever really planned, but the short story is I started as a high school teacher and it was the number one thing I saw as an issue with students. I became the academic chair and now I had other teachers telling me it was an issue in their classrooms. After about 6 years, I left the classroom and got into public relations. And I noticed that even though the demographic I was working with was now different, working with high achieving, confident adults, that privately they too struggled in friendship. And so for the past 6 years, I've been leveraging my education background to help people understand what the latest research says around women's friendships. And I enjoy working in this space and it's been really fun.
Yes. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. And I know it seems a little odd, like I'm an art podcast. I always say my audience is predominantly women or people who are non-binary, but it's a lot of creatives who, you know, for some reason or other, they feel a little on the periphery. And so that's always who I'm speaking to. And, you know, it might seem like not the most obvious fit to talk about friendship, but what I found is that when it comes to people who work either in an entrepreneurship space or certainly in the arts, that line between professional and personal, especially with friendships, can seem really blurred. And so I guess I was really curious specifically if you have any insights on sort of how to navigate that, because I feel like the word networking makes people bristle. And I know that I personally don't love that term, but I found a lot of what the insight from the book has given me clarity. And I would love to hear directly from you if you have any insights on that in particular.
Oh, that's such a good point. I love talking to creatives. It's very interesting to me to hear different groups and their unique strengths and challenges with navigating friendships. And yes, I feel like friendship itself has become so like such a com like so commodified that it's just like, is this really friendship, or are you using the language friendship to get me to come to this event? Because now I'm hypersensitive to language on marketing materials. That's like, networking event for creatives. Come make friends and share your business card. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if they go together, you know? So yeah, I think it's very interesting because networking, we kind of think, okay, well, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna try to advance my career through connecting with other people. But the thing there is that the end goal is personal and professional advancement through collaboration, and not, I want to be seen for who I am, and I want people who can connect with me, appreciate me, and support me in that way. Even if I took the business part out of it. And what's interesting is I've worked with clients who are creatives, and they, you know, through conversation, they realize, oh gosh, everything I go to is a networking event to make friends. And I'm realizing I'm not meeting my goal because they either just end up wanting to use me for business stuff, or we always talk about the creative space. And while I love that, I've got other things going on. So it does kind of challenge us to look at, where am I sourcing new connections? What am I looking for when I get into friendships? It just kind of challenges us to think about, to interrogate some of our ideas about friendships and where we source them.
Yes, I love that. And to your point, you mentioned the red flags when you hear friendship and networking in the same sentence. It reminds me of a red flag with a business is calling you like a family. I feel like they're co-opting, to the point of your book, like what could really be like, fertile ground for like development and forming friendships helps you with so many aspects of your life. But then knowing where to cut off and have that professional line can be really confusing. So I guess if I could ask you more specifically, because I will say like some of my biggest breaks in my business have come from my friends, and then some of my deepest friendships have come through my business. And so how do you have any good, like, I guess red flags or maybe insights or something to be aware of or questions to ask yourself to sort of determine, how to tend to those relationships? Do you make them acquaintances and treat them professionally? Or at what point do you know, okay, this is a friendship worth tending to?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first, I want to say that I want to start by giving us a word to work with, a new concept, and then we'll talk about intangibles. There's a concept known as multiplexity. And the idea is that relationships where the person serves multiple roles, sometimes those can be richer relationships. So the person who's my work friend and my friend, or my hairdresser and my neighbor and my church friend, or my happy hour friend, when they play multiple roles, it can be a richer relationship. So I say that to say it's a good thing to be working and turn that work person into a friend, but exactly how do we do that, right? So for a lot of people, work is fertile ground for making friends because as adults, it's the number one place where we source them. There's something I read that said that we'll spend over 90,000 hours over our lifetime at work. So almost as a practical strategy to say, well, I might as well make friends here. This is where I live, you know? So that makes sense. So I say if you guys start in a professional sphere, you know, you can still keep it professional. I think a reason we get nervous is because we're like, okay, how do I take them to friends? You want a natural, slow, gradual, healthy progression into offering little bits of trust and personal things about yourself until we get to a place where eventually now we feel like friends. So, for example, I might start by sharing personal things about myself that don't get to the side of like trauma dumping or things like that, but little things about what I do on the weekend. So you can know me outside of the context of work. Things that if she were to tell this to another person, I don't feel like I'd be betrayed. Just little things about myself, goals, interests. I can also observe the way she is with others because that tells me if she's friend material. If she's always coming to tell me about another person she collaborated with and how she didn't pay her invoice and this and that, like gossiping about other creatives in the sphere. That tells me a little something. So you can learn whether or not this is a safe space to engage if they do well with the little bits of the bids of trust that you do offer. How do they do with those small little bids? And how do you observe them engaging with others? Are they trustworthy? Are they positive, encouraging? Do you feel that if you told them something, it would be, treated as sacred? Do you find that they are supportive of you, or are they only engaging because it's kind of transactional? So there are some things I think that can help us in that way kind of navigate those two worlds.
Yes, I love that. And I think you're so, it really resonates with me when you mentioned, slow and steady. And I think when I think back to sort of my professional slash friendship faux pas that I made in my early 20s, that was my mistake. You mentioned, having, there's three affinities of female friendship, which are symmetry, secrecy, and support. And I know for me, it really resonated when I was reading about that because I all of a sudden had these friends that were also artists for the first time in my life and who also did this as a profession, were also moms. And I think I saw that, like, that symmetry and that ability to bond. And it made me sort of forego the, like, slow and steady mindset, which now in hindsight is so smart and so, like, such golden advice. And, I wonder if, having sort of stop gaps could help someone, prevent what ended up being a very transactional relationship, if sort of having, like you said, those bids. Do you have any, like, more tangible examples of, like, or even just one of, like, a good bid to test out if someone wants something transactionally, or if maybe there's room for friendship there?
Oh, so okay, yeah. So if you're trying to gauge, okay, is this person just using me for business stuff or not? When you do share things of yourself, do they seem interested? So are they prompting you on things that are not business related? So let's say that I'm pursuing a certain project that's not work related and I mention it. The next week, are they asking me, oh, how's that thing going? Or how's your new obsession with plants? Or I saw this plant book and I thought you would love it. Are they engaging with me to extend or build upon information I've shared about myself that has nothing to do with work, but again, that requires me to share things of myself to see how they receive it? And if you find that it's too much on business and you kind of want to push them to personal, you have permission to negotiate. We don't do that a lot. A lot of times we see what they're giving. And I know people say, well, I'm going to match energy. We see what they're giving. And we're like, okay, well, then I'm going to do that. There's room to negotiate in friendship. So let's say that it does get business. You have total permission to say, you know what? Today, I feel like we got to take the business hat off. Okay, I need to know more about XYZ. It's playful, but I'm warmly redirecting you to something else. Now I observe. I can see if they're interested in pivoting or if they're capable. Because with some people, you'll realize, oh, she can't really go there with me. Like this is going to be like a one-dimensional relationship. But I get to negotiate and push. Is it risky? Is there a chance I'll be rejected and it doesn't go well? Yep. Is there also a chance that it's great and you realize you guys have more you can enjoy with each other? Yes.
Oh, I love that. That's so good. And that's something that, I'm kind of ashamed to say, like, wasn't an insight until I came across your content, which is like this idea that you can sort of negotiate. You can say, hey, here's my boundary. Like, I maybe we don't. We save the text for, like, non-work related stuff. And then we have the Instagram DM for work related stuff and how you can sort of push back. Because I think a lot of times, especially female friendships are sold to us as, like, you sort of see a person and they are who they are. But I think what where your book really shines is sort of framing friendship as something you can build with someone else. And, for me, it's a very disarming thought. We don't love conflict, and your book goes beautifully into, like, how to handle conflict, but that gives so many more potential for friendships. And I know you talk a lot about, like, loneliness and how it's hard to find people. But I think to you, I think I've heard you say this, but to your point, like, it's only lonely if you only, like, meet someone, decide you don't like them, and then kind of move on. Anyways, but I wanted to talk more about, like, the positive parts of your book, because there's lots of great insights into, like, how to overcome difficult things. But I think where the book really shines is talking about the benefits of female friendship. So I'm wondering if you could maybe sell to my audience, why, like, having the friendships even outside of work, even if they're work friends, but, like, what are the benefits to having and nurturing that? Because I know as creatives, it can be so easy to make everything work, everything all the time work. Again, that personal line. So what are some reasons why it's worth putting so much energy into female friendships?
Okay, I love that you said, can you sell to my audience? Because a lot of people are there where they're like, okay, intellectually, I know friendships are important. Okay. But like not being able to articulate direct connections between why it actually matters and why we should be putting resources, time, and energy to making it happen because we feel like we're surviving without it. So why change things? And I totally get that. I do. But I'll say, even I was surprised getting into the research to see the direct connection between the quality of our social networks and our physical, mental, and emotional health. So that I'll start with this. I'll rattle a couple things off. I'll start with this. The longest running study on happiness was conducted by Harvard. It went over 80 years of looking at multiple generations to figure out what makes people happy. And they found that the number one factor that influences your overall happiness and life satisfaction and well-being is the quality of your relationships. Okay. They find that the number one preventer of depression is if you have somebody to talk to. And this is from a large meta-analysis, meaning they looked at multiple studies. This is not just the one thing. It kept coming down to having someone to talk to, which is why some people are starting to build AI companions, and that's a whole other thing. Okay.
That's very dystopian.
That's a whole other thing. But again, because we are hungry, we're hungry for it. Also, they find that people who have more things, like I think there was a study where they had people list off all the things that they offer and all the things that they've got going on, and people who can list more things are happier. I say that because the person who's like, well, I'm a creative through and through, work is my life. I hear you and I admire your passion, but you would be misguided to think that's all that you've got going on. Who else are you? What are your other various intersectional identities? And do you have community around each of those? You know, so for me, I would say, you know, I'm Black, I'm a woman, I'm a mom, I'm a creative. In order to feel really seen and understood, and I feel like I have purpose in this world, I need to be engaged with each one of those communities who can affirm that in me. And you can't do that on your own. And you can't do that just being Miss Work all the time. And if that is all you have going on, I encourage you to pause for a second, take a time out, because you are more than work. And maybe you need to slow down enough to realize what else do you have going on? And if not, it's time to develop some other things we've got going on. And what better place to do that, to grow, build, and explore than in the community with other people?
Yes. Oh, beautifully said. Beautifully said. I know people are like nodding vigorously. That was such a good pitch. I think my audience is sold. I love that. And it reminds me, the last thing I'll say on that is it reminds me a little bit of like, you know, I read a lot of parenting books. I have two young kids, and there's some insight that says that it's important that friends or your kids have three separate distinct friend groups for them to be happy and navigate adolescence and preteen. And what's funny is like by kind of reading your book and being, you know, listening to your podcast, like I realized that, well, why wouldn't that apply to me as an adult? And it totally makes sense. So yes, 100%. I love that so much. And then finally, I would love to ask you, you know, what has been the most fruitful part of your journey? You know, artists a lot of times talk about building community, and I see you walking the walk and talking the talk both. And I just was curious, like, what is that? Because I know it's its own creative process. Like, how has that been for you? How has that journey felt?
You know, it feels like such an honor to have so many people feel like the space we've created is a safe space for them. I know we say that a lot, but you know, people are coming and they're DMing me their friendship issues, or I've had people say like, oh, I'm about to meet up with a friend for the first time, so I'm binging TikTok, you know, your TikTok videos really quick. It's just so, it's such a good feeling to know that people find value in the work you're doing, and it's giving them confidence and in aha moments and things like that. So I just feel so deeply grateful to be involved in this work that I believe is so important. And I know people have different faiths, but you know, for me, I feel like, you know, God is in the business of healing, and I feel honored to be a part of the plan. I'm glad that he's using me to help, because he could use anybody. And I'm honored to be a part of people's healing, you know? And then personally, I feel like doing this work has made me a braver, freer person, because I'm reading all this research around connection and love and how to have more resilience after a conflict with a friend, how to move on and be closer, and setting boundaries and just all these things. And you can't read that stuff and have your personal life untouched. I feel braver in my own relationships. I feel empowered. I feel empowered to even be vulnerable, like truly vulnerable, where a friend might see me differently after she hears something, but I'm going to go for it because I know in my brain, the research around how it's worth it. Even though some have looked at me differently and it didn't go well, but either way, I see that as useful data, because once I put myself out there, I'm either going to see who can go there with me and who can't. So either way, it's a win-win. So I just, you know, on a larger scale, I'm honored to be a part of this work and have people trust me. And personally, it has developed a fire within me to do this stuff, and it's affecting my own life. And so I'm just grateful to be involved in friendship work, and I'm glad that people are starting to see the value in it the same way they would a marriage counselor or romantic literature and resources. We're starting to have just as prominent conversations around friendship, and I'm really grateful to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's and I want to give you like a, even a, like a personal testimony of it too, because one of the things you mentioned in your book is how a lot of times devaluation of female friendships is a consequence of a devaluation of like women in general. And that was one of those highlight, underline, underscore. And you know, I've implemented a lot, you know, mostly just like the bravery of like showing up, saying what you need, don't quit, you know, in my own, you know, re female relationships. And I found that that's one of those things that's been re that's reverberated through my career. The last thing I'll say on that is, you know, being an artist is a practice of authenticity. You're practicing showing up as who you are. And I have found that the practice of doing that within the context of my own female friendships has made me a better artist. So I just wanted to say, like, the work you're doing is amazing. I'm sure it goes way beyond even what we all know, but it's just, I wanted to say a huge thank you. And also, how can people find you and connect with you? I personally benefited from being part of your internet, you know, on your timelines and everything. So how can people find you?
Yeah, I've enjoyed like being like TikTok buds and going back and forth and liking each other's videos. It's been really fun. So I appreciate you. Yeah, everything lives at betterfemalefriendships.com. And I know that, you know, in the ongoing conversation around gender and things like that, we get a lot of questions like, well, I'm a guy and I identify as this. Is this relevant for me? And, you know, I do specialize in women's friendships. I think that research is very interesting because we communicate and congregate and fight in really unique ways. But my hope is that like 70% of it, a lot of it can is transferable. And I hope that anybody who comes to that space can find insights to help them begin tangibly building more satisfying, healthier friendships is my hope. And so I think going to that space, everybody can find a little something to help them feel a little more seen and satisfied.
Yeah, beautiful. I love it. And of course, you have your book, Fighting for Our Friendships. It is a great book. It's beautifully written. It's one of those books where every page feels like an aha moment. I've recommended it and gifted it at this point. So, I mean, it's really fantastic. But thank you again for sharing your time with me. I know you're busy and I really, really appreciate it. I know my audience is going to really value this conversation. So, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you guys enjoyed the episode as much as I did. Definitely check out Danielle and all of her links. And again, I can't recommend it enough. Check out her book. It has been absolutely mind-blowing in my own personal life. And I'd like to remind you that our next episode that isn't the Summer Book Club series will be a call-in episode. You still have plenty of time if you'd like to call in and leave a voice memo at the Google number I provided in the show notes. I'd love to hear your questions. We've already got a couple of great ones, and it can be a question that's really personal to you or just a general art question. Either way, I'd love to hear it. Check out the link below. And as always, happy painting, happy creating, and I'll talk to you guys next week.